moment. This has to do with what can we get done right now. So the issue, here's the choice. It's very stark. We can't get my preferred option through the Senate right now. As a consequence, if we don't get my option through the Senate right now and we do nothing, then on January 1st of this of 2011, the average family is going to see their taxes go up about $3,000. Number two, at the end of this month, 2 million people will lose their unemployment insurance. Now, I have an option, which is to say, you know what? I'm going to keep fighting a political fight, which I can't win in the Senate. And by the way, there are going to be more Republican senators in the Senate next year sworn in than there are currently. So the likelihood that the dynamic's going to improve for us getting my preferred option through the Senate will be diminished. I've got an option of just holding fast to my position, and as a consequence, 2 million people may not be able to pay their bills, and tens of millions of people who are struggling right now are suddenly going to see their paychecks smaller. Or, alternatively, what I can do is I can say that I am going to stick to my position that those folks get relief, that people get help for unemployment insurance, and I will continue to fight before the American people to make the point that the Republican position is wrong. Now, if there was not collateral damage, if this was just a matter of my politics or being able to persuade the American people to my side, then I would just stick to my guns. Because the fact of the matter is the American people already agree with me. I mean, there are polls showing right now that the American people, for the most part, think it's a bad idea to provide tax cuts to the wealthy. But the issue is not me persuading the American people. They're already there. The issue is how do I persuade Republicans in the Senate who are currently blocking that position? I have not been able to budge them. And I don't think there's any suggestion, anybody in this room thinks realistically, that we can budge them right now. And in the meantime, there are a whole bunch of people being hurt, and the economy would be damaged. And my first job is to make sure that the economy is growing, that we're creating jobs out there, and that people who are struggling are getting some relief. And if I have to choose between having a protracted political battle on the one hand, but those folks being hurt, or helping those folks and continuing to fight this political battle over the next 2 years, I will choose the latter.
Quickly, sir, you're describing the situation you're in right now. What about the last 2 years when it comes to your preferred option? Was there a failure either on the part of the Democratic leadership on the Hill or here that you couldn't preclude these wealthier cuts from going forward?
Well, let me say that on the Republican side, this is their holy grail, these tax cuts for the wealthy. This is seems to be their central economic doctrine. And so unless we had 60 votes in the Senate at any given time, it would be very hard for us to move this forward. I have said that I would have liked to have seen a vote before the election. I thought this was a strong position for us to take into the election, to crystallize the positions of the two parties, because I think the Democrats have better ideas. I think our proposal to make sure that the middle class is held harmless, but that we don't make these Bush tax cuts permanent for wealthy individuals because it was going to cost the country at a time when we've got these looming deficits, that was the better position to take. And the American people were persuaded by that. But the fact of the matter is I haven't persuaded the Republican Party. I haven't persuaded Mitch McConnell, and I haven't persuaded John Boehner. And if I can't persuade them, then I've got to look at what is the best thing to do given that reality for the American people and for jobs. Juliana.
Thank you, Mr. President. Back in July, your budget office in mid-session review forecast that unemployment would be 7.7% in the fourth quarter of 2012. Mm-hmm. Will this package deal lower that projected rate? And also, is it going to do more to boost growth and create jobs than your recovery act?
This is not as significant a boost to the economy as the Recovery Act was, but we're in a different situation now. I mean, when the Recovery Act passed, we were looking at a potential Great Depression. And we might have seen unemployment go up to 15%, 20%. We don't know. In combination with the work we did in stabilizing the financial system, the work that the Federal Reserve did, that's behind us now. We don't have the danger of a double-dip recession. What we have is a situation in which the economy, although growing, although company profits are up, although we are seeing some job growth in the private sector, the economy is not growing fast enough to drive down the unemployment rate, given the 8 million jobs that were lost before I came into office and just as I was coming into office. So what this package does is provide an additional boost that is substantially more significant than I think most economic forecasters had expected. And in fact, you've already seen some just over the last 24 hours suggest that we may see faster growth and more job growth as a consequence of this package. I think the payroll tax holiday will have an impact. Unemployment insurance probably has the biggest impact in terms of making sure that the recovery that we have continues and perhaps at a faster pace. So overall, every economist I've talked to suggests that this will help economic growth and this will help job growth over the next several months. And that is the main criteria by which I made this decision. Look, this is something that I think everybody has to remember. And I would speak especially to my fellow Democrats who I think rightly are passionate about middle-class families, working families, low-income families who are having the toughest time in this economy. The single most important jobs program we can put in place is a growing economy. The single most important anti-poverty program we can put in place is making sure folks have jobs and the economy is growing. We can do a whole bunch of other stuff, but if the economy is not growing, if the private sector is not hiring faster than it's currently hiring, then we are going to continue to have problems no matter how many programs we put into place. And that's why when I look at what our options were, for us to have another 3, 4, 5 months of uncertainty, not only would that have a direct impact on the people who see their paychecks get smaller, not only would that have a direct impact on people who are unemployed and literally depend on unemployment insurance to pay the bills or keep their home or keep their car, but in terms of macroeconomics, the overall health of the economy, that would have been a damaging thing.
Just to follow up, the unemployment rate was just north of 8% when the last Recovery Act was put in place. It's now 9.8%. Are you prepared to say today that the unemployment rate is going to go down as a result of this package?
My expectation is that the unemployment rate is going to be going down because the economy is growing. It's and even though it's growing more slowly than I'd like, it's still growing. Now, how fast it's going to go down, how quickly the economy is going to grow, when our private sector business is going to start making the investments in plant and equipment and actually start hiring people again, you know, there are a lot of economists out there who have been struggling with that question. So I'm not going to make a prediction. What I can say with confidence is that this package will help strengthen the economy, will help strengthen the recovery. That I'm confident about. Chuck Todd.
Mr. President, what do you say to Democrats who say you're rewarding Republican obstruction here? You yourself used in your opening statement they were unwilling to budge on this. Mm-hmm. A lot of progressive Democrats are saying they're unwilling to budge, right, and you're asking them to get off the fence and budge. Why should they be rewarding Republican obstruction?
Well, let me use a couple of analogies. I've said before that I felt that the middle class tax cuts were being held hostage to the high end tax cuts. I think it's tempting not to negotiate with hostage takers, unless the hostage gets harmed. Then people will question the wisdom of that strategy. In this case, the hostage was the American people, and I was not willing to see them get harmed. This is not an abstract political fight. This is not isolated here in Washington. There are people right now who, when their unemployment insurance runs out, will not be able to pay the bills. There are folks right now who are just barely making it on the paycheck that they've got, and when that paycheck gets smaller on January 1st, they're going to have to scramble to figure out, how am I going to pay all my bills? How am I going to